Trust and believe that everything has already been worked out. See, a confident trust comes from the fact that you know that God is, and because He is, He provides. And by experience, you know that He's done it before. And if He did it once, He'll do it again. He might not do it the same way He did it the last time, but the Father will always address my issues, amen, as I ask Him. So that's why we say it's a confident trust. Because I have confidence that He did it once before, and the Father will what? Do it again. Not only that, I have the Word of God to confirm what God says to me and what I can confidently expect. Say, confidently expect God to provide, amen, in every area of my life. Life will always be a challenge. Why is it necessary for the Father to allow challenges in our lives? Why? Because commitment and righteousness is defined when there is an adversary in your life. Say adversary or an antagonist. In essence, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of a particular tree in the garden. They were innocent, but they weren't righteous. Why? Because righteousness has to be proven. So what does God do? He puts an antagonist. What's an antagonist? Something opposite to what God told you to do. And so God puts something opposite in your life to what He told you to do to see what you will do. Do you follow me? Because your righteousness is determined by your what? Your faithfulness to what God has said. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why God allows Satan. Notice, he allows him. This is something my aunt had a problem with. See, God allows Satan. Why? Because Satan, glory to God, will be the antagonist. He will go against the Word of God. But that Word that God has given you is tested by what Satan does to you. See, if the Word of God is believed, what he says doesn't matter. And you'll pass the test. And God says, I consider that righteous. Because righteousness is not proven until it's tested. God has to test you. To see, not for him, but for you. Because God knows what you're going to do, but he knows what you have the potential to do and not to do. He's giving you the ability to say yes or no to what he has said. Do you follow what I'm saying? So God did not, glory to God, give Adam and Eve a desire to do wrong. It was already in them. See, there's a perspective that has to be taught because there's so much lack of teaching in the church. And God is breaking us, out of this baby stage. Say baby stage. A baby is always asking for something and never is allowed to grow up until you start putting the baby under responsibility. Clean your room, make up your bed, tie your shoes, clean your nose. Take your plate and put it into the sink. Sweep the floor. Put your shoes in order. Put your clothing in order in your closet. Obey your mom. Obey your dad. Obey your teachers. Obey society. Obey the structures. Why? Because God is using that to what? Develop you in order. Say in order. Do you follow what I'm saying? Developing you for a higher level of living. Say higher level of living. And God will allow. Say allow. Satan to operate, but he's giving you the power to overcome him. But you have a responsibility to find out who you are in him by reading God's word and spending time with him. Do you understand that? Say, while I'm working. See, there's a difference that people need to understand. My worship to God does not end when I leave this church. My worship to God is 24/7, 365 until the Father takes me home. So worship, and my worship is my what I do on my job. My worship is how I handle people in my territory, spheres of influence. My worship is my love for others as I walk in the love that God has for me. Do you follow me, saints? So worship is not something you do. Worship is something you are. Can I say that again? Worship is not something you do. Worship is something you are. Out of who you are, worship arises. Mm-hmm. Or the lack thereof. Do you follow me? Worship comes out of appreciation. Say appreciation. Worship comes out of an appreciation and an adoration, glory to God, for what God has already done and an expectation of what God is getting ready to do. Do you follow me, body of Christ? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So when we know who we are, mm-hmm. and God created you for worship,
yes.
God has created us for communion, mm-hmm. and my life is His, mm-hmm. and everything I do is a worship to Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our scripture says, in all that you do, do it to the glory of God, because that's your worship unto Him. You follow that, Clint? So you have an obstacle, but you have the power. Say the power. To override it. I'm going to show you something in Psalms chapter 2 that's going to blow your mind. Say, blow my mind, Lord. See, we look at, right now, there's a plethora of movies that deal with superheroes. The market is flooded with Avenger, Marvel, people with superhuman powers, who war against superhuman evil, whose purpose is to protect those who are less likely, who are weaker, to protect nations, to protect the world from the evil that's trying to destroy it. It's really a physical illustration of a spiritual truth of what's already happening in the spirit realm between God and Satan. And listen to me. Satan has already lost. He's already lost. You read in Psalm chapter 2 last week where the Father says, why does the heathen rage and imagine what? A wicked thing. God says, I mock you. I laugh at you. How can you think that you can override what I have already predetermined to operate? Who are you when I created you to think that you could come against me and think a wicked thing and think you're going to be successful in the accomplishment of that thing? God says, I mock you, I laugh at you. Do you understand me? And when you don't know, say, when you don't know. When you don't understand. You typically get moved by the flood. Say by the flood. What's that? The flood of what? The flood of opinion. The flood of lies that come your way. That you're not able to discern because you're walking as a mortal person and not an immortal person. I told you, you are a new breed of humanity if you are in Christ. Say new breed. Which means you're different from what you currently or what you once were. You are a new breed of humanity. Clark Kent operated like a human, but when it was time to take care of business, Clark Kent came out and became who he was. Do you follow me? Clark Kent did. He followed the rules. They followed the rules. He did what he was supposed to do on his job. He was kind to people. He did everything. But when danger came, Clark came out. And the real Clark, say the real Clark. Hey, manifest it. God is saying, when the real saints going to show up? When the real believers going to show up? When are the real believers going to come out of the box?
Yes, sir.
Come out of the prison. Say the prison. That you put Jesus in. Because Jesus is your Superman.
That's right.
Through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is your superhero.
Amen.
Jesus is the one that can defeat every work and has already defeated every work of the enemy in your life. There's nothing that he can't do, but you got to let Superman out of the closet.
Right.
Let him out.
Do you understand me?
Amen.
Say, Jesus got to come out. The Bible says in the book of Romans and the book of Colossians, you should consider yourself dead. For you have been crucified with Christ. You no longer live, but Christ, hallelujah, by his spirit, lives out his divine intentions through you. Do you understand me?
Amen.
Which means you got to take a second seat.
Amen.
Say, recognize
Amen.
That I'm not the one.
I'm not supposed to be living this life.
I'm walking in concert with Christ. And I've yielded control to him that he may guide me. Say, guide me. Huh? To the places, the people, the circumstances, the situations that he's established for me to exercise, to allow him, say, allow him to exercise his authority in that realm. So we're contending for this. We're contending for the truth that lets us function, say function, as God has called us to be. You have not been called to be little illy, lily, willy, lazy, sorry, scary, unprepared people in the earth realm. You've been called to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So I've been called to be strong in the Lord and the power, say, of his might. Glory to God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say, greater is he that's in me. Say, resident in, living in my inner man right now, more powerful than anything that can confront me in the earth. So you have to believe that. If it's just words in the book, it doesn't bring power to you. So it has to be real. Say real.
Real.
And the reality of a thing makes you pursue in the manifestation of the thing. Can I say manifestation? Which means you're going to walk this thing out until it comes to reality in your life. Do you follow that? So we have to stay focused. Say, stay focused. And our focus is based on the word. What we read focuses us. What we pay attention to focuses us. What we walk out of focuses us. Remember, when you step out in faith, God has already moved. When you step out in faith, remember, God has already moved. You are moving into what already is by faith, because God created it before the foundation of the age. Before anything was, God created this move for you. It's a chess piece. All you got to do is move, and the victory is yours, because it's already been established. But faith takes you to the place of victory. Without faith, you can't walk in victory. It's faith in what God says about the situation that takes you to the victory that's waiting for you. Can I say that again? The victory is waiting for you. The victory is already come. It's finished. It's completed. All you have to do by faith is walk where God tells you to walk, because the victory is there. Your house is there. Your job is there. Everything you need is there. Your commission in Christ is there. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it's generated. It's not generated. It is manifested when you move by faith. Amen. Faith in what? What God says.
Amen.
Are you following me today?
Amen.
We're contending, hallelujah, for the reality of what God has for us. This life will challenge you. What's the challenge? To live by faith and not by your flesh. What's the challenge? To believe the word of God and to walk in that. Irregardless of what challenges might be coming your way, you will have a fight when you attempt to walk in unity with God. When you walk in faith, moving as God directs by his Holy Spirit, there will be opposition. But Jesus says, I've already overcome it. Huh? I've overcome this world and this world system. That's what he said. I've overcome this. I've overcome this. And because you are connected to me, I am the vine. You are the branches, John 15. And because you're connected to me, you can now do anything that I can do. Woo. You have me. And now what I've done, say, what I've done. Jesus, what I've done. Huh? You can now do what I have done. You can do what I have already done. You will do, because I said it in John chapter 14.
That's right.
Do you follow that?
Amen.
So you have to be coached up.
Uh-huh.
Say coached up.
Coached up. Mm-hmm.
See, some coaches are better than others.
Right.
The Holy Ghost is the best coach.
Amen.
Huh? You can't get a better coach than the Holy Spirit, glory to God, because he reveals Jesus. Do you follow that? So I'm going to show you what God says about you in Psalms chapter 82 to heighten your sense of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Say, heighten, Lord, my sense of awareness. I need to know who I am. So I can walk in it. Psalms 82. Psalms 82. Dude, you read Psalms 2 already. That was last service. That was last message. Amen. We might go through a refresher. It depends on what the Holy Spirit says. Amen.
Amen.
I know I did. I said in Psalm 2.
Yeah,
but Psalm 82. I said, did I not say Psalm 82?
You said Psalm 82.
Yeah, I did say Psalm 82.
You said Psalm 82. Yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Psalm 82. Psalm 2 was what part of the heathen rage.
That's right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. We see the heathen raging in our generation, don't we?
Yes.
You see it on TV every day. Now, what is a heathen? The heathen is one who knows not God and resists what God says is right. Huh? Can I say that again? The heathen is simply someone who rejects God and his fullness and his sacrifice. God's salvation, Jesus Christ. That's who the Bible calls a heathen, who rejects God and his salvation. Do you follow that? So he said in Psalm chapter 2, don't go to stand 82. He says, why did the heathen rage? And imagine a vain what thing. The kings of the earth, say kings.
Kings.
Corporate kings, media kings. Do you follow me? Political kings. Business kingpins. They imagine a wicked thing. They think they can create a world without God. Isn't it amazing how the creature thinks they are stronger than the creator? That's a delusional thought coming from a delusional spirit called Satan or Lucifer, whose name means deceiver. What does he do? He deceives. A deceiver lies and covers up the truth, so that those who are able to understand it can't. Because though you have a mind to understand, if I don't give you all the truth, you'll never come to the right answer.
Right.
Do you follow me?
Yes.
If I withhold the basic truth necessary for you to make a decision, because God does not want you to be a robot, he wants you to be able to sift, think, cognitively develop. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can make the decision. Why? Because that comes with an individual who has what? Free choice.
Mm-hmm.
Say free choice.
Free choice.
God does not come to try to make you do anything. He gives you the resources and the information so that you can sift through it with the help of the Holy Spirit and come to the answer he's already predetermined.
Yes.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
Are you able to connect the dots?
Yes.
Do you follow that? So I love God. Say, I love him. Because who, say who, allowed you to create you and then allowed you to make your own decisions? No dictator likes that. No politician. Say politician. I'm not talking about statements. Politicians want you to do what they do. They don't want you to do what's best for you because they're not in office to make you do what you need to do. They're in the office to make you do what they've been paid to make you do. Do you hear me?
Right.
Do you follow me? A person who walks in the love of God simply wants you to be the best that you can be under the guidelines. Say, under the guidelines. That makes it better for everyone. Freedom does not mean you can do whatever you want to do. Freedom comes with a responsibility. Say, freedom comes with responsibility, which means I don't take advantage of Clint because I can. Freedom does not give me the right to do that. But freedom without moral law will always oppress. Freedom absent from a moral law, a moral construct, will always oppress. Say, freedom without a moral compass will always oppress. So you better have a standard by which your freedom operates, or there will be oppressors who will take advantage of it. And the only one that can give you true freedom is the one that created you.
Amen.
And his name is Yahweh. His name is Elohim. His name is Jehovah. Glory to God. And he's created freedom. It's not a man-made thing. It comes from a spiritual construct. Freedom. God is not bound. God is free. And he has given all human beings freedom. Not a man, not a government, not a politician, not a billionaire. None of these things. But guess what? They going to die too, and they will stand before the Most High.
That's right.
And the Bible says it's a terrible thing to be in the hands of an angry God. Read the Bible. When God finishes things, he wipes everything out. The wicked will be punished. And God says, I sit in heaven and I laugh at him. I see what you're attempting to do. How foolish are you to think that you can do this and not allow me to engage? Because you're trying to hurt people. God has already told the rich what they're supposed to do with their wealth. Take care of the less fortunate. Use it for good. and not for your own political, economic advantage, or that which you have, I will take away, because it wasn't yours to begin with. Naked you came into the world, and naked you're going to leave. Your Tesla going to stay right here. Your 13,000, 14,000, 50,000 square foot house going to stay right here. And they're going to put you in a coffin with some borrowed clothes, and it's going to rot with you in the grave while your spirit goes, and you're going to have to give an account for the life that you lived on this planet before the one that created you. So it's an honor and a privilege to live. But it's a greater honor and privilege to live righteously than unrighteously. Because there will be a judgment. Say, true justice is to mete out judgment. True justice is to mete out judgment. True judgment. True justice is to mete out judgment. So in essence, God's going to let everyone be judged for their acts against a standard that he has created. Do you follow that? God has created the standard of what's good and what's right. And when man tries to change it, God says, I will judge you for changing what I have ordered to be right and wrong.
Right.
Do you understand me, Seth?
Yes, sir.
You follow this?
Yeah.
And this is what we have to start teaching in our fellowships. Because people think they can do whatever they want to do. Clint, you can't go to job when you want to go to the job, can you?
Yes,
you might not have a job. You follow what it's saying. You can't pay your bills or your mortgage when you want to. Now, you pay it off, you can do whatever you want to. But even your community has standards. So if you break the standard of your community, even though you own the house, they will fine you for your lack of following the covenants of the community. So right, say, there's always standards. Why are there standards, amen? To keep you in alignment. Why? Because you're crooked by nature. Or should I say this? You naughty by nature. Say,
every human
is naughty by nature. Jesus says there's none good, no, not one. Say none good. Say no, not one. Because your nature, say my nature, is selfish. I will do whatever I can to keep me alive, even if it means you got to die. Like the guy said, there's a lion coming. Ain't no problem. If I'm faster than you, I'm all
right.
The fastest one going to get away from the lion because he's going to catch the slowest one. You understand what I'm saying? As long as I'm faster than you, glory to God, I'm going to get away. Not if I trip you up. You understand me? So God is trying to show us, man, that he has a plan. Say a plan. It's been defined before anything showed up. In essence, God created the plan. Then he created you to provide a part of the plan that will make it functional until its completion. So he created you under strict guidelines. So that what is in you is particularly designed for the place and time that you're supposed to occupy. So your physical makeup, that's necessary because you're human. You're human. Amen. But it's your spiritual DNA that he's put in that's most critical. Because the spiritual DNA that he's placed in you is needed, is needful of a host, a body. David says in the book of Psalms, Jesus says, thou hast made a body for me. If he's made a body for him, that means he's existed before the body existed. But the body was necessary to give him access to a realm that he was not supposed to operate in without that body. Do you follow me?
Right.
Because God gave earth to humans. But humans, glory to God, with spirits. So a spirit cannot function in the earth realm unless he is housed in a body. Say mortality. A mortal man. A flesh and blood man. So God had to make Jesus, hallelujah, and put him in a body. So that like Adam had a body and had the Spirit of God in him, but failed. Now a body of like kind and quality has to be brought into the scene and lived out the same, say the same. He brought through the same planet to do the same thing and to complete it so that he could bring us back into the place where we can walk in covenant with him.
Amen.
Do you understand me? So once mankind was in, say in, Adam who failed, and because of us having that DNA, we were doomed to what? failure and judgment. But praise be to God who brought Jesus. Amen. And because Jesus, the second Adam, we have liberty and freedom to walk with God and not have to fail anymore. And glory to God, but can walk in complete unity with him.
Amen.
Do you follow that?
Amen.
Now you got to recognize, say who I am. Say who I am. Because Jesus told Thomas and Peter to have you not so been with me that you don't know the Father. You've been with me for 3.5 years and you still don't know who the Father is? He said, don't you believe that the Father is in me and I in him? And if you don't believe that, believe the very works that I do, because the works I did, no man can do. What man that you know can walk on water? What man that you know can speak to the elements and they obey? What man you know can speak to demonic spirits and tell them to come out of people? What man you know puts his hands on people with leprosy? You don't touch a leper, because if you touch a leper, you receive what the leper has. Leprosy was the worst disease at that time. That's why they put lepers in colonies. But Jesus put his hands on them and said, be healed. What mankind were afraid of, Jesus walked and dealt with. And likewise, you're supposed to be able to deal with what man says is not. Do you understand? So if that's the case, should we be able to lay hands on COVID? And COVID what? Say critical questions. If Jesus could heal, why can't we? If Jesus said we can heal, why don't we? If Jesus made these declarations and proclamations about his children, why can't his children walk in this? And he gave his disciples a clue. He simply said, because of your unbelief, you don't believe it. He didn't say they couldn't do it. He didn't say they didn't have the power to do it. He didn't say they were equipped to do it. He says, you don't believe. You got the equipment and you don't believe it. So he said, your issue is not that you can't. Your issue is that you don't believe that you can. And then that is the crux of a whole lot of people in the world, not just in America. They don't believe. Don't believe they can graduate from high school. Don't believe that they can overcome. Don't believe that they can get over. The man stops. What man stops you from doing what God has called you to do? Your mind been tied up. You're under a slave. You've got a slave master. Like Michael said, you've been hoodwinked. Bamboozled. Because the Father has given you everything that you need to be all that he's called you to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't do because you don't believe it. Lord, help my unbelief. That's what it is. Glory to God. Amen. So the issue becomes, the Father says, you've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, stop being conformed to this world system.
That's what he said.
Say there's a, the world tries to conform you. Don't believe God, believe the news media. Don't believe God, believe the politicians. Don't believe God, believe what everybody else says but God.
Come on now.
And everything's going to be all right. Yeah, you're still going to be in bondage because your God is the one telling you what you should and should not do.
That's right.
Do you understand me?
Yes.
So the decision has to be made. Yes. Who will you serve today? Because they're trying to draw lines in the community and society. They're drawing lines. You can only believe one way. If you don't, we're going to try to put you under subjection. But I heard two disciples says, we're going to obey God and not man.
Right.
Tell you right now, when we leave out of here, we're going to follow Jesus.
Amen.
And we're going to do what he says. And beat us if you want. We're good with that.
That's right.
We're glad to be scarred like the master. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care what you do. I'm going to do what the master tells me to do. And people will be saved as a result of it. They will be delivered and set free. And they were walking up to the temple. They saw one man, glory to God, who was infirm, and he's asking for alms. And Peter looked at him in his eyes and saw faith in him and said, He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what do I have? I have the healing power of Jesus dwelling on the inside of me. I have the resident power of the Holy Spirit down on the inside of me. I have the ability of Christ on the inside of me by the Holy Ghost. And such as I have, in the deposit that the Father has given me, I give unto you. And the man stood up and walked. And the man who Jesus said would deny me three times. Before the cock crows three times, Peter, you're going to deny me. That same man that denied the master, that same man was walking in the power of the master, and he was healing as the master said he will be healed. Don't tell me you can't fail. Get back up, glory to God, and get in the faith realm and see what the master does in your life. Say marketplace. It was in the marketplace that Peter did this, not in the church, in the marketplace, in the marketplace of people's lives and existence. He walked with this type of power and authority. And God says in 2021, the church gonna walk in that same type of authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The church, the body of Christ, amen, the ecclesia will walk in that type of power. Say that type of power. God put you in a tough situation to kill you. Because the only reason you agitated in that situation is because you're still alive. You want life. You want to exercise your way instead of his way. So in tough situations, you agitated. You can't do what you need to do because God is killing you off. So it's not your will. It's only his will. And you get joy out of that. Woo! Say, killing the mortal so that the immortal can live. Say, you are immortal. Look at your name and say, I'm immortal.
I'm immortal.
Say, two realms of living. Immortal living is spiritual living. Mortal living is you're limited by your five senses. You're limited. Say, limited by your limited resources. You can only see so far. You can only hear so far. You can only detect temperatures from so far. You can't detect the temperature in Tallahassee if you're living in Brady. You can't detect the temperature in Sarasota if you're over in Ellington. You're limited. Say limited. In scope and in range. You follow me? You're limited by what you can smell. You can smell when a hurricane coming, temperature's changing. But see, you in the flesh. It's limited. Say limits.
Limits.
So you live in a dichotomy. What's a dichotomy? Two things. Two realms. You live in a physical body, but the Bible says you're a spirit man. What are you going to believe? Are you going to yield to the limits that you have in your mortal, or are you going to believe the supernatural supply that you have in your immortal state? Because you're living in both. Brother George is a physical man. Pastor Rita is a physical woman. But if she lives in accordance with what her physical limitations dictate, she'll never do what God says she can do. But if she recognizes that what I receive from Christ takes me beyond my physical limitations, my mortal limitations, and takes me to an immortal realm.
Yes.
And now I can do things that I couldn't do before because I have a greater one living on the inside of me. Say the Superman, hallowed in me, will override the limitations of my mortal man. Hallelujah. Say, I got to
come up higher.
Say, it's time to step up.
It's time to
be whatever we're supposed to be. See, people honor athletes because athletes do what most people, not that they can't do, they won't do. They work harder. They suffer pain. They sacrifice. But that's why they get greater rewards. Because those who sacrifice more will usually get more. And it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. Because every great athlete ain't on the football field. Every great athlete is not on the baseball field. Every great athlete is not on the soccer field. Every great athlete is not on the basketball court. Every great athlete is not on the diamond. Every great athlete is not swimming in a pool. Every great athlete is not running track. There are great athletes everywhere that are not given the same opportunities as others.
That's right.
Because there ain't enough room for everybody.
Come on now.
But in the kingdom of God, you can do exactly what God has called you to do. There's room for everybody in the kingdom to do what God has called you to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say limits in man. There's a Bo Jackson somewhere that we never experienced. God didn't make one Bo. God didn't make one Michael. Only one showed up. It's some Michaels on the street with a bottle in their hand and a needle in their arm that you never saw. Because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you don't get the opportunities. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because you were raped, a whole lot of people got raped, and they doing great things, glory to God, because they have overcome, and you wallowing in your pain.
That's right. Jesus.
A lot of poor people, say a lot of poor people, but some poor people have gotten out of it, and they're living great lives because they were willing to die to themselves and let Jesus be all that they needed to be in them. My God, say you got to see things with a perspective of the Father, and you can do great things. Mm-hmm. You got to see yourself as immortal. Say, I got to see myself differently. I got to see myself as God sees me. Because if the world, say the world, gives you visions. That's what they call it, tell a vision. You need to get your vision from the Father.
That's right.
Which means you're going to spend some time with the Father God. Mm-hmm. We make room for everything but God. And God says, the wise, say the wise. We set aside time to get connected. Say connected. Say to the maker. See, you can walk in routine. Say routine. In routine, you can walk in a routine for 40, 50, 60 years and never do nothing. Do you follow me? Because it's easy to walk in a routine. Especially a routine that doesn't challenge you. Get up, eat. Go back to sleep. Go to work. Come on. Eat. Go to sleep. Go home. Everybody gets into a routine. Say, but even, say even, everybody got to change. Say even pastors. Some people think pastors ain't human. You crazy. Seen enough of them falling out, don't you? Everybody is a human being. And a human being, say a human being, say in Christ, has to recognize he's more than a human being. Say in the spirit realm, people recognize what is possible. Don't think people aren't witches for a reason. Because there's a realm of authority in that realm. And the spirit realm will always supersede and overwhelm the natural realm. But how you know Jesus created that woman that thinks she's a witch, that man that thinks he's a warlock. God created them for a purpose different than what they want. But they want power at their own. Huh? They want power under their own terms. And even when they get it, they don't have it under their own terms. Because the enemy comes back and he puts them in bondage. He says, if you don't do this, I'll do that. It becomes bondage. And God does not put you in bondage. He gives you freedom. Psalm 82. Are y'all getting anything out of this? The appetizer? Mm-hmm. See, this is the body of Christ. A fellowship of higher learning.
Yes.
Harvard can't teach this. Rensselaer can't teach this. Yale can't teach this. If they did, the campuses would be changed. The theology departments of Yale and Harvard are failures, fakes. They can't even change their campus. No power. Do you understand what I'm saying? Theology departments and colleges, if they were real, the campuses would change and would reflect the God in which they teach. So it ain't about degrees. It's about relationship with him. Psalms 82. God presides over heaven's court. He pronounces judgment on the heavenly beings. How long will you hand down unjust decisions by favoring the wicked? Give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people. Say evil people. Evil people always, say always, take advantage of those who are less fortunate. But these oppressors know nothing. They are so ignorant. Verse 5. They wander about in darkness while the whole world is shaken to the core. I say you are what? You are what? You are all children of what? The Most High. But you will die like mere mortals and fall like every other what? Ruler. What he's saying is this. You guys, say you guys, who are ruling and making decisions. No, you are God. God is, do you know what that word God is? Elohim. Say Elohim. Mm-hmm. Meaning that they have power, strength, authority to make things happen. And God says, because you're living like a mortal, you're going to die like this. Say living like a mortal. Not recognizing that you're connected to and created for God's supernatural use and to be empowered by him to do great things in the earth. But you chose to use your life differently. Say differently. And now God says you're going to die like a mortal. Who? Say die like a mortal. Which means, George, if you're going to die like a mortal, the inference is you ain't supposed to die like a mortal. Am I making sense? Am I making sense?
Amen.
But you will die like mere mortals and fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, and judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you. Ooh, see a principle in here.
Principle in here.
I'm finna show it to you. I'm gonna go to the King James Version. It says, God standeth in the congregation. Say, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among what? The God. Say the Elohims. How long will you judge unjustly and accept persons of the wicked? Selah. Say, put finger on these things. What is this in 21st century time? How long will you listen to wicked? How long will you wicked politicians? How long will you wicked business people? How long will you wicked doctors and practitioners of wickedness continue to function and take advantage of those who are less fortunate than you? Because you can control the information, because you control the flow of information, you control the flow of money, you can control the flow of jobs, you can control legislation, you can control these things. God said, you're going to die like mere mortals. Why? Because you don't recognize I'm God. And I got a higher call for you. And you're living beneath your calling. And because you're living beneath your calling, you're going to die beneath your privilege. Ooh. Because what did God create man for? For worship. For engagement. Say engagement. Glory to God. Look at this. It says, how long will you what? Judge unjustly? Verse 2. And accept the persons of the wicked. Say lot. Think on these things. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Say defend the poor.
Defend the poor.
Say and the fatherless.
And the fatherless.
Say don't make the fatherless.
Don't make the fatherless.
Don't be quick. Don't create policies that make people fatherless. Verse number 4, deliver the poor and the needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and you are children of the Most High. Say, ye are gods, and children of the Most High. Let's go confirm that. Go to John chapter 10, verse 34. I want you to see this, because Jesus said, this is Old Testament. Say, Old Covenant. Uh-huh. But what's in the old will reflect itself in the new. Go to John 10. John chapter 10. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Are you there, saints? John chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Say, Jesus is talking to his disciples. I love how the word confirms itself. Got 10:34? Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? Ooh. What's he talking about? He's talking about Psalms chapter 82. Do you follow me? Jesus said to them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are what, gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God, what?
Came.
And the scripture, what? Cannot be what? Broken. Say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the what? Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Do you follow what I'm saying here, saints? What Jesus is saying to us, say saying to us, you need to recognize you are immortal. Are you getting this? See, it's a principle he's showing you here. See, if I'm in Christ, I got to see myself as immortal. Because I'm connected by spirit to God. Because God is a spirit. And they that worship him most worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. So I'm a spirit being. Paul tells you that, amen? Somebody go to Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. Are we doing some things here? See, the word's supposed to transform you. Say transform you. Why is the word supposed to transform you? Because that's the agent for change. Say the word is the agent for change. Elohim. The root word for Elohim is Elo. Are you getting something out of this? Is El, and the root of El is Ayil. Glory to God. Ayil, say Ayil. And I'm going to write, I'm going to phonetically write this out for you. Like ginger ale. L. Okay. This speaks of strength, power, might. Can you all see that? Say strength, power, and might. This right here speaks about different things. When you think about a ram, you think about power. When you think about a pilaster or a column, you think about strength to support. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is what this word ayil really means. It's talking about strength, and it uses metaphors or gives you different physical illustrations to show you what that strength is talking about. Say, all this is found in Christ. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Say, so it's talking about something that's strong. Say something that's strong. Talking about I yield, you're defining something that's strong. Hello, Superman.
Hello, Superman.
Hello, Superwoman.
Hello, Superwoman.
Hallelujah. Say, recognize who I am. Say, I'm not walking from a place of weakness. I'm coming from a place of strength. Say strength.
Strength.
El Shaddai. El Elyon. El, do you follow what I'm saying? El always talks about God. The next word, Shaddai, speaks about that attribute of him. So El Shaddai, which means breasts in the Greek. What it is saying is, what do breasts do? They supply support, milk. nutrients. Amen. So it says, El what? Shaddai. I'm the all-breast one. You mean God has breasts? No. He's using breasts as a metaphor to show you that I'll supply everything you need nutritionally. I'll supply everything you need to give you what? Life. So when he's talking about El Shaddai, the life giver, the one who supplies you. Amen. Said supplier of my every need. So they're using terms, say terms that they can identify to give you an understanding of what they're trying to convey to you of what they have known about God. Whew, this is so good. Say El Shaddai. El Elyon, the all what? Powerful one. The most high God. You follow what I'm saying? So they always use El, and El always represents or the little. Say deity or small deity. And you are a what? You are a portion of the Father in the earth. Ooh. Just like Clint looked like his mama or his daddy. Why? Because the DNA made him. So he is a component or a composite of what came out of what? Them. You are a component or a composite that came out of Christ. Do you follow me? So though you have a physical body, you have everything that you need in Christ. Outside of Christ, you're destitute. Outside of Christ, you have no abilities. Other than the natural abilities that you have. Do you follow me? You might be able to run fast, but you don't know God. That ain't gonna do you no good. Bible says you can gain the whole world and what? Lose your internal soul. God wants you to gain the world and gain heaven too. Do you understand what I'm saying? Y'all getting something out of this? Glory to God. So the Father says, say the Father says, you are what? God's. You have been sent here to rule and to reign, to exercise authority. Do you follow me? Psalms chapter 8 says he gave the world to George, to man. So you have what? Authority. Say hello, Elohim. But you got to control your own body. Say the immortal has to protect its character. So the immortal will always fight against your flesh. The mortal. Paul says this in the book of Romans, that the flesh and the spirit are at enmity against one another. Enmity means great hatred. So your flesh don't like the spirit, because the spirit puts pressure on your flesh. You follow me? Because the spirit's job is to kill you who live in the flesh. Why? Because your flesh is total enmity against what God desires to do in the earth realm. God tell you to go witness, your flesh says, I'm scared. Why are you scared if someone's life is on the line? Why? Because you don't see the gravity of your disobedience. Do you follow him? Do you see what happens? Because we don't see the gravity of our decisions. Say our decisions. Why are you afraid? If I'm in your life, why are you letting your past dictate how you relate to people in your future? So that white person hurt you when you were young. You scared to go talk to them now? What's in you now that won't allow you to be the what I want to be in you? Why now would you let what happened to you in your past, now you got me in your future, you won't go minister to the very ones that need help, but you won't because they did you wrong back in the 20s or the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, or even yesterday? I want them saved. Will you let me use you? Or will you let your past keep you bound? And you're going to miss out on the blessings I have for you because you're walking in a fear that happened 50, 60, 70, or 2 years ago. See, God digs deep and shows you the stuff that you won't deal with. I'm trying to deal with that, but you won't let me deal with it. So you think you love me, but you only gave me so much. You still got stuff that I want to deal with, but you think you're right with me. There's more that I want, and you won't give it to me because your past, you won't forget it. You won't bury it. You won't recognize it. I killed that off, and there's a greater one on the inside of you, and I want to go reach them that you now scared of, because you let your old ways come back them old thoughts, them old ideas, them old bondages, that old pain. God says, I wipe that away so that you can recognize you don't live in that realm anymore. You live in the supernatural, immortal realm.
Yes. Amen.
Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
See, the spirit, the immortal man, comes to deal with the issues you won't deal with. Because the issues you won't deal with won't allow you to move into the place by faith that God has established for you to walk in. There's a place you still have not arrived because you won't give God everything. And once you do that, you'll see some things begin to blossom in our lives. You'll begin to see the things that the Father has for us to come forth and to manifest and to drop all this stuff and these labels that not only others have put on us, but what we put on ourselves. Do you understand? Y'all don't have to look so. Joy in the house. Glory to God. My goodness, hallelujah, glory to God. Say freedom. This stuff is supposed to excite you. You know, when you start dealing with people's issues, they go down emotionally. When they should be saying, hallelujah, glory to God. And some of that stuff will fall off of you. Try it right now. Try it right now. Go start shouting and try it right now. Try it right now because you're dealing with something out right now. Glory to God. You're going to a deep, you don't even understand God's trying to set you free. And you dwelling on your negative, and God said, you should be jumping up and saying, I'm free from this, hallelujah. I don't have to walk this way anymore. Glory to God. But you over here trying to go negative. Don't understand, glory to God, that God takes about these things so you can come out of it free. Say, freedom comes when the word exposes. And you got to say, the prison door has opened, and I can step on, glory to God, and I can walk into the freedom that God has for me.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
See, that's what happens. When God starts to deal with people's stuff, they get all negative. And it's not to make you feel bad. It's to set you free from the thing that's making you feel bad. Clint, it's deeper. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff, our God. See, we have to, that's why it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you don't know what you think you know.
Come on.
Quit settling for what you think you know and let God take you to a higher place. Because you ain't there yet. You're still growing. We're all growing in Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with your issues, quit sitting up there like a bump on a log going into. Can't even say amen to the word. All amen means is I agree with that. So be it. So be it, God. Your plan and your will be done in my life. And that is to shake the shackles off of your life and let you walk into the fullness of what He has for you. Say shackles. Woo. When y'all get that, y'all gonna run around this church. Father, let him get it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah, glory. Because see, we want deliverance in this church.
Yes.
Say deliverance.
Yes.
We want people to be able to be delivered so they can deliver others.
Yes.
See, because what God delivers you from, He gives you insight on how to help others.
Yes.
But see, if you just throwing in the wind, say throwing in the wind.
Yes.
Eventually, people are going to look at you and say, you don't know what to talk about, and move on. Because manifestation shows up when you walk in what? Love and compassion. Compassion comes from people who've been brought out. Compassion, people are going to look for people who are in bondage because they know they have what it takes to set them free. Not only do you have the Lord, but the Lord has walked you through your bondage and set you free. Now you can go and set other people free. But more importantly, you wait for Him to show you who they are. Because everybody ain't ready to receive what you got.
That's right.
So you got to hear the Holy Spirit. Say, hear the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
So you'll know who you have. Say, hello, Superman.
Hello, Superman.
Say, hello, Clark Kent and Clark Kentess. You've been sent. Say, I've been sent to be a blessing to others. I'm God. Say, I'm God on the earth. Say, I'm Elohim. The essence of God is dwelling on me. I'm God's son. If I'm God's son, I got my Father's attributes on the inside of me.
Hallelujah.
got to understand DNA. Physical, you got to understand physical DNA. You don't understand spiritual DNA. Because what's true in the spirit is also true. What's true in the natural is true in the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Are y'all getting this? I'm trying to stay calm because I'm trying to teach. You follow me? Listen to me. She ain't complete, neither am I. There are things that God is dealing in her right now, as well as dealing with me. See, we are all being transformed together. What happens with leadership is they think they've made it. That's why they fall. Do you understand me? Leadership falls because they think they've made it. And you've seen some people fall pretty dramatically. Because you can preach good, don't mean you've been delivered. Because you got this big old audience and you got all these people following you, doesn't mean that you're complete. Do you know the people who will succeed in this year and years to pass were those who humble themselves before God and recognize, I don't know it all, but Father, I'm pressing in to get more. I'm pressing in, Father God, so you can have more of me. Yes. Yes. Lou Saban won 7 championships, and before they were celebrating was over, he said, I'm working on number 8. The man didn't say, godly men don't stay on the, they don't focus on the victory, they move into the next one. So when you come to one plateau of success, you're saying, Father, I bow before you now. Prepare me for the next level. It's called keeping yourself in balance. I'm going to tell you another thing. The immortal person does not ever give the mortal the opportunity to exercise his opinion. The immortal person never gives the opportunity for the immortal, for the mortal person to exercise their opinions. Let me give you a definition. I'm going to write this down. The immortal is equivalent to the spirit. And the mortal is equivalent to the flesh or the carnal nature. Be humble. There are some people who try to come in. Hey, Clint, can you see this? Okay. See, there are people who try to come into the kingdom of God with a natural mindset, with their intelligence. They try to figure out things intelligently. And then they get hit spiritually. What I say, hit spiritually. The father, the enemy begins to deal with them in their flesh and begins to pick out things. They pick out things because they don't want to be controlled. Do you know when you come into the kingdom of God, you come under the control of the Holy Spirit? Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Read Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. Say, you can't come into any camp trying to rule and do things your way. So people come to church and say, you can't control me. Now, what you're saying is, I don't want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what you're saying. You want God's goodness, but you don't want it his way. Do you follow that? They want what God can give, but they don't want to do it God's way. And they wind up running and leaving because guess what? They don't know what spirit they are. Because they're trying to worship God with their intellect and not with their spirit. Do you follow me, saints? Do you follow that? That's why you got so many church splits. Takes a submitted woman and man of God to walk out this life. Read that 8:14, Brother George.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of
God. Say what?
For as many as are led by the Spirit.
If I'm led by something, that means I'm submitted to it. Amen. That doesn't mean I'm sitting up here saying you can't control me. Yeah. Can't claim what would happen to us if we go to our coach and say, dude, you can't control me. I think I might be on the bench. What? You mean I can't tell you what to do in that cover two situation? I can't tell you what to do in the cover three, what your responsibilities are? No, you can't control me. Go sit on the, no, give me my uniform. Get out of here. I'm going to replace you right now. Me playing quarterback saying, coach, I'm going to do what I want? You can't control me? Well, give me my suit and go over here. I'm going to put number two quarterback up in here, and we're going to move without you because you can't come in here telling me what you're going to do and what you ain't going to do because you aren't submitted to teamwork. You aren't submitted to the overall goal that we all succeed when we walk as one. You understand what I'm saying? You follow me? So that's why so many weak Christians, people trying to live for God and can't live for God because they're not submitted to God. You can't live out something you're not submitted to. You'll never manifest it. Do you follow what I'm saying? You can't love people if you ain't submitted to the one who gives you love. Because God is love. Say God is love. But he's also a spirit. Do you follow what I'm saying? So can you continue on, Brother George?
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
That whoever is led by the
Spirit of God.
Did it say anything about your flesh? Did it say anything about your mortal?
No.
Said what?
Spirit.
So flesh, the carnal nature, should not be part of the equation. So in essence, your body should be submitted to the Spirit. Say my soul should be submitted to the Spirit. So everything that you are in this threefold compartment, spirit, soul, and body, it has an alignment. And it must be spirit first, soul and body on that parallel. And that's how you live your life. Before Christ, you were soul and body at the expense of the Spirit. Now when you get saved, guess what? Your soul and your body have to be brought under the subjection to your spirit. And that's where your battle lies. Because that which was in authority don't want to give up authority. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit say pray, but then the old man, you get up and you eat. Because you ain't eating because you're hungry. You're eating because there's an issue on the inside of you that's agitated. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, see that part of you is still trying to stay alive, and the Holy Spirit is coming to deal with your spirit to try to get you to see that that's your bondage, that's your kryptonite. Give me that. Kill it. Kill it. Or it's going to kill you. It's going to kill my dreams and my visions for your life. It's going to kill the things I have planned and put in place for you to walk into, because the small foxes will spoil the vine. You don't want to eat right. You don't want to exercise. You don't want to study late. You want to go to bed when you want to go to bed. The Holy Spirit says, no, don't go to bed now. I got 2 more hours I want to download into you. But your schedule says you go to bed at this time. I'm breaking your schedule because your schedule is a problem for me, says the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which means sacrifice. You don't want to sacrifice. If you got to read your Bible standing up on the tub so you don't go to sleep, do it. Get up out your bed and read the Bible standing up so you won't go to sleep. Because God said there's something I want to pour to you tonight. It can't wait till tomorrow. You're going to miss out what I'm trying to do. Your tomorrow is already planned. And you're going to miss out on today what I have for you tomorrow. Because you want to sleep for 2 hours.
Hallelujah.
You're going to miss out on what I have for you. Let me prepare you for the future I have for you. But you got to give me all of you and quit taking back that which I desire. So you got some more dying to do. God always pulls the layers that you don't even see. God always deals with the stuff that you don't want to deal with. God always begins to deal with that area, glory to God, that you try to hide in. You've been pushing this out for so many years. God, it's time for me to deal with that, or you won't walk into the future I have planned for you. It's your physical that I'm trying to deal with. It's your mental realm I'm trying to deal with. I'll use people to get you in order. You don't like what he says, but he's saying exactly what I wanted to say, because it's revealing to you that you got a resistance over here that I can't deal with. So God will bring somebody in your life close to you to agitate you, to show you that there's something you got that I need to have. And I'm using him. It ain't him, it's me using him to agitate you. Or it's her, me using her to agitate you. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because I have something planned for you, but you won't make it if you don't let me deal with you now. So this is the scene where we are now. Got to deal with everybody, me included, in your now. Or you're going to miss out what I got planned for you in April and in March and in February. You understand what I'm saying? And in July and October, November, I have things planned for you. But you have to be prepared for what I have planned for you, which means you need to get rid of that old mortal nature that's dealing with you now.
That's
And he said, some of you already know what it is. I've been dealing with you for a while. And now you're going to deal. Do you follow me, saints? Do you follow me? I don't have to say it. You know what it is. Anybody prophesying over here? Y'all know what the issues are that God's been trying to deal with you about. And it's time. Say it's time. It's time. If you're still alive and breathing, God's got something for you to do. If your time with him was over, you'd be dead. If you're still living, God has something for you to do. And it's your responsibility to prepare yourself for it and do it. Say, do it. And he's calling us higher. Say, calling you higher. Say, know who you are. Say, know ye our gods. Which means you got certain strength that other people don't have. And you need to tap into it and start doing it. Tell you another thing. Quit being afraid of Satan. Like he's a boogeyman. Quit being afraid of him. James says, resist him and he'll flee.
That's right.
Resistance is. That's not what the Father has for me. I bind you. Get away from me. Some people are scared tonight. When you're supposed to brighten up tonight. And see, it ain't your light, it's his. It's his. Huh? So let him be. Say, let him be. Don't put him in no prison. The prison of your what? Your mortal thinking, your mortal way of thinking. God wants, look at him and says, God wants me successful. Say, he wants me successful.
He wants me successful.
And he will make you uncomfortable. As he takes you to success. See, people want success without challenge. You follow me? See, Clint, I want to get in shape. But I don't like what it takes to get in shape. And I know what it takes to get in shape. And because you know, you don't want to do it.
That's the resistance lies.
Because you know what's required. And see, when you get a certain age, say a certain age, this joker don't want to do nothing. Because it knows, say it knows. And see, the elasticity, say elasticity, the muscles get tight, man. You understand what I'm saying? All that stuff. See, I tell my wife about this sometimes, because see, I know what it takes. Baby doll only went to a certain level. But if she want to get in shape, it's going to be uncomfortable. And she can't eat what she wants. You understand what I'm saying? And she got to do things that are painful. Say painful. But if you do it, you're going to see the results and be happy with it. Amen. And look back over the process and say, man, I'm so glad I did that. Because what happens, Clint? When the last game is played and we walk it up, what we want to do? We want to start the season all over again. I'm ready to get the season off started all over again. And what we started in the beginning, say, we hate it. But it prepared us to get in the game and play for 10 games. And when I just take the uniform off, whether it was in college or whether you want to go back and do it again. God wants you to get to the place, man, for when you overcome one obstacle, you ready to do it again. I'm ready to go higher in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say higher. And 2021, say God wants us to go higher in him. Say it's time to go higher. Time to get into the word. Say get into the word. And say walk this thing out. And let God deal with your issues. Because it's not him. It's you that's stopping him from taking you to the next level of him. Hmm? See, people, see, Monday night, Tuesday night. I said, what is it, Tuesday and Thursdays? That's the only time, Wednesdays and Thursdays the only time we meet, right? Mm-hmm. Two times a week, two times out of seven. Mm-hmm. Right? If God's more important to us than anything else, why can't we make two times? Mm-hmm. You go to work every day.
Sure do, on time.
But you need that money. So you telling me, can I be honest with you? Yeah. Your money more important than your God.
Yeah. Ooh, talk to us, sir.
Yeah. Say ouch. The evidence proves it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
You're saying.
You'll find a way to go to work, but someone will come up and you can't make it to church. Mm-hmm. But you need the word. See, God challenges us. Because see, if you want to be with God, you got to deal with yourself. Not him. You have to, because you don't want him to come deal with you. Because you might not like the way he deals with you. Because God, you've read 1 and 2 Sam, 1 and 2 Kings. God gave them people a whole lot of time to get it together. And when his anger was kindled, it didn't stop until they were wiped out. But he said, I gave you 40 years to get it together. But you're always making excuses. But you want me to show up when you want me to show up. You want me to show up. God, I need you, Father, I need you. He said, where were you Thursday night? You got the controller in your hand. But you want me to move when you call. Say you love me. Oh, Father, I love you. Oh, really? Is that mouth or is that actions? Because I've been watching YouTube. See, he makes us be real with ourselves. Because God is only transparent. You can't hide nothing from Daddy. You fine. So this thing is more than what we think. Thinking I'm strange, he always says, count the cost. He says, count the cost of what it means to follow me. Count the cost. Because every level is a cost. So every level you rise up in me is a cost. It's a cost. It's going to cost you something. Jesus says, if you love husband and wife more than me, you know what he's saying? If your wife got more control of what you do for me than me, then you might have your wife as an idol. And I'm angered with that. Because I told you not to put anything before me. I made your wife. I made your mama. And you're going to put them before me? I made your brother and your sister. You're going to put them before me? See, that's where the mama reached the role right there. Jesus told him, say, eat of my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, oh, man, you crazy. I'm going to walk away from here. 70 walked away from it. And Jesus said, what are you all going to do? Peter said, Lord, we've given up all. We ain't going nowhere. You have the word of life. See, Jesus will check you. Reggie, is she more important to you than me? Rita, is he more important to you than me? What I tell you to do? If I tell you to do something and it's counter to what Reggie says, who are you going to do? See, it can be a challenge to follow God. And God will put challenges in front of you and say, is your wife more important than me? Can I put this way? Is your leisure time more important than me? Because I'll pass you over. I love you, but I will pass you over. Because I got people who are dying, and you sitting over here in comfort. And I'm trying to reach somebody. So I'm looking for somebody who said, Lord, and you say, where do you want me to go, Father? Yeah. Baby, I got to go. You can stay here if you want to. Haven't I done that before, baby? I'm going to go. Y'all, you can stay here if you want. I'm gone. I got to be here by 7. I'm going. Y'all, it'll wait till I get back. Because no wife, no husband should supersede or override me. They can't save you. And I can't save you. So if my wife tells me God says do this, off limits. Do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
Clint comes in and says, Father, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. I'm going to say, Clint, do what the Holy Spirit told you to do. Because that's the only one that's going to bear benefits. And if you're wrong, say if you're wrong. Just admit and say, I need some more teaching. I need a deeper level of consecration. Because I didn't hear God like I thought I heard it.
Amen.
You follow me?
Yeah.
And that's called growth. And that's called maturity. Because you can't be mature if you're not responsible.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So with that, glory to God, my time is up. And you got somebody that give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a deep